Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Have a drink. Have an espresso. Have a macchiato. Have a bowling. Go have a bowling ball. Go play with a bowling ball. That's
we all. Know, as was said last night, the patient took the subway, went to a bowling alley, and went to a few other food establishments.
That's
before all. Being admitted to Bellevue yesterday. So
that's
we've been
all.
Able to retrace those steps. Our teams have visited each of those establishments.
The JV
I want to
team.
Emphasize again, casual contact cannot lead to acquiring this disease. The only
really?
Threat is if one has come in contact directly
right.
with the bodily fluids
all
of
right.
someone who has
again,
this disease.
The propaganda continues. Again, the propaganda. It's all we're hearing from the Democrat, Socialist, Islamist Party, USA. So let me ask you this, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Governor, Mr. President. Let's not have any more vitriol between ourselves. We're all Americans. We're all trying to control this disease. So let me ask a simple question that your genius Frieden and the other one in the white suit, Fauci, I love they came out in the white suits today, starched white suits to show you everything is fine. At the same time, Mr. Bowler comes back, passed a new enhanced screening at JFK Airport and fell victim days later. So what does that tell you? Why don't you try to use common sense once in your life, Mr. Governor, Mr. Mayor, Mr. President? So I'll ask you this question, okay? If it's so hard to catch, how did this good doctor catch it? Let's make it real simple. Is that something that the CDC hasn't asked you yet? All the geniuses sitting around, all the new suits, ties, nice shirts from Barney's, they're sitting there. They didn't ask the basic question. So the mayor's getting up and saying, you cannot catch this by casual contact. You need direct contact with the bodily fluids. So the good doctor was there in like a biohazard suit. How did he get it? It could be he got it casually. Or worse yet, Mr. de Blasio and Mr. Obama, again, we're all Americans. Let's stop the finger pointing. Maybe you'll get to the truth if you stop trying to hide the truth. Maybe you'll arrive at the truth if you stop thinking about the objectives of the Democrat Party for 10 seconds and do your jobs to protect the American people. So let's ask this question. The good doctor from Doctors Without Borders, a good man, goes over there to help people for free. He comes back, he passes your new enhanced screening at JFK Airport, no symptoms whatsoever, because you didn't close the flights, number one. I blame you. Number two, he should have gone into quarantine for 45 days. I've told you that for 3 weeks, but you didn't listen to me. You listened to those morons at the CDC who are giving you the wrong information. But again, how did the good doctor get the disease if it's so hard to catch? How did it happen? He had a biohazard suit on. He cleared the government's newest enhanced screening protocols. Could it be that the advanced screening is a load of bullcrap? Could it be that it can be spread casually, such as through droplets, as has been reported in the real scientific literature, as opposed to the propaganda literature coming out of the Stalinist Democrat Party USA to tell you all is well? See, now we've passed the point of no return. This is no longer a matter of Republican versus Democrat. All good people listening to this show can agree to one thing, which is that they are either lying to you or they don't know what they're talking about. Now, 3 weeks ago, I wrote an article that was entitled, They Don't Know Ebola from Shinola. It was a big hit. It was linked all over the place. 2 weeks ago, I was attacked by some moron at CNN named Jack Taperwood. Taperwood had the nerve to say that I said things I didn't say. But what I said that CNN quoted correctly is that Obama is sending 5,000 troops to Liberia, one of the epicenters of this disease. And I said, is it not logical to conclude that at least one of them will come back asymptomatic? Well, Jake Taperwood said, how dare Savage even ask the question? Savage is implying that Obama wants to give Ebola to the troops. But you know what? I've been proven to be right. Now, I realize a prophet in his own times is very often reviled, and I'm lived with that for 20 years. I'm ignored not only by the left-wing press, but by the so-called conservative press, who would rather have a junkie musician on with eyeglasses, sunglasses today, then have me on with Stop the Coming Civil War. That's their choice, and that's their embarrassment. Roger Ailes will have to live with that the rest of his life. The fact of the matter is I am a prophet in my own time, and I'm trying to warn America. I'm trying to warn you that the people in charge either know something and are telling it to you, or they're complete idiots. And that's what I think is the truth. I think they're complete idiots. That's right. They know how to manipulate. They know how to steal votes. They know how to rip off money. They know how to take money out the back door. They know how to do everything except run a country correctly. So I'll ask you again. I'm going to ask you once again, and let's now calm down together, me especially. Dr. Craig Spencer comes back from Guinea with the aid group Doctors Without Borders, and he successfully navigated the CDC's enhanced screening protocol at JFK Airport. And yet again, the mayor of New York, as I played, says you can't get the disease through casual contact. This is the same rhetoric that we heard during the AIDS epidemic. And I'll tell you what the problem is here, because I've said it about 15 times in the last 2 weeks. I've watched Frieden. I've watched Fauci. I've watched them for 30 years. The very same rhetoric and protocols that they put in place for the AIDS epidemic are being applied to the Ebola epidemic. That's the background from which they came. But it's a different disease. AIDS and Ebola are very different diseases. The viruses are different. The transmission route is different, and to some extent. And so to keep putting out the rhetoric that you can't get it from casual contact is true for the AIDS virus, but it's not true for the Ebola virus, as we have so sadly learned. And I'm the only one in the American media who understands this. I'm the only one in the American media who has a degree, a PhD, write it down, Doctor of Philosophy degree from the University of California, in part in the subject of epidemiology. It doesn't make me the world's leading expert on virology or Ebola or Lassa fever or any of the other hemorrhagic fevers. But I know enough to read the literature, and I also have great common sense because I am an immigrant son. And I'll tell you something about what that means. It means that the average taxi driver in Manhattan has more common sense than Mayor de Blasio. That's what it means. Now, I want to read you some of the twitters about Dr. Craig Spencer, who went bowling in a few restaurants. Here's what the average person wrote. Headed home to Williamsburg, skipping tonight's bowling plan. Another one wrote, time to start grounding flights from West Africa. You know, so people don't jump from an Ebola-stricken zone into Brooklyn bowling alleys. Another one wrote, I feel sorry to Dr. New York doctor who has Ebola, but why did he think it was okay to ride public transportation, eat out Ebola to bowling lanes? You know, that's an interesting question. In other words, the doctor didn't think he had the disease. That's obvious. On the other hand, the doctor should know he should have put himself in quarantine for at least, they say, 21 days. I would say 45 days. Any doctor who goes there should not be able to come back to an un-Ebola zone for at least 45 days. Wait it out there. Sweat it out there. But don't bring it back to your home country. 45 days would be more appropriate. Another one wrote this. Self-quarantine under Obama and the CDC equals go bowling all night, ride Uber and take the subway. Cheers, doctor. Another one wrote, the guy who handles bowling shoes at the NYC bowling alley that Ebola doctor played probably doesn't love his job right now. Another one wrote, how did you get Ebola? You rented some bowling shoes on Wednesday night and had a scratch on your toe? That's bad luck, man. Another one says, blah, blah, blah. Have Ebola? Feel free to take planes, trains, taxis. Even lick a few light posts, but stay away from the bowling lanes, man. Another one wrote, a doctor who has worked with Ebola returns home to a huge city and doesn't self-quarantine. In fact, he goes bowling, eats in a restaurant, rides Uber in a subway. Are all doctors idiots? So you get the picture. In other words, Twitter users are smarter than the mayor. Twitter users seem to have a better handle on what should have been done than the head of the CDC. You know, there used to be a saying in the 70s. It was a bumper sticker that liberals like to put on their cars. And it went like this. It said, when the leaders won't lead, the people must lead the leaders. Remember that? Anyone raise your hand out in the Savage audience? Some of you must have been liberals or ex-liberals who are now realists and understand what's happened to the country as a result of the psychotic drug addicts, right? You remember the bumper sticker? When the leaders won't lead the people must lead the leaders. Well, we're the people. And I, Michael Savage, am trying to lead the leaders. It doesn't do me any good to ridicule them. It doesn't do you any good to ridicule them. But something has to happen, and it has to happen fast. You look at the way they're fighting this war on Ebola. They're failing us at every level. In a sane country, the head of the CDC would have been fired. The president probably would have been forced to resign by now. If we had any semblance of democracy, because of the bungling on Ebola, the bungling on the war on terror, and all of the other crimes he has committed, we certainly would have had a resignation by now in a legitimate democracy. But we're stuck in a sort of autocracy. We know that. And now what are we going to do about this? What do you think about this doctor? What do you think about my statements? Who do you trust or not trust on Ebola? Do you trust Michael Savage or the CDC? Who should be in charge of our Ebola response is another question. They appointed some government hack, a lawyer who worked for Al Gore and Joe Biden, a bag man, in other words. He's the Ebola czar. Are you ready for this? The Ebola czar lawyer didn't even show up today at the emergency meeting on Ebola. He wasn't at the meeting. Now, can you explain this to me? Can you explain a bigger embarrassment in your life than Obama first apex, a fixer, a lawyer, as the Ebola czar? The man doesn't know an aspirin from the A-train. Maybe he knows the difference between aspirin and A-train. It's not a good analogy. The man doesn't know a cyclovar from an aspirin tablet. Let's put it to you that way. The man wouldn't know the chemical formula of H2O, what it represents. I'm sure he knows what CO2 is because he worked for Al Gore pushing the big lie about the dangers of this very important gas. But I'm sure he doesn't know the difference between H2O and your big toe. Why was he not at the meeting? Where is our so-called czar? Czar de Nicolai is where he was. Now, I'm going to enjoy, play the song for me right now in the Savage Nation, because, you know, life goes on, and living well is the best revenge. And I'm going to continue to have an espresso right now with a little piece of lemon skin in it, lemon peel, a la a cafe on Thompson Street or Mulberry Street when I grew up, and I wasn't allowed in those cafes. You know, as they used to say, any club that would have me as a member, I wouldn't want to join. Well, in that case, they wouldn't have me as a member, and I did want to join. But here I sit all alone with a dog in front of a microphone in San Francisco. By the way, it's not even in the local newspaper. They are so locked into Obama's shoes, they won't even report there's an Ebola outbreak in New York City. Would you believe this? Can you believe the world we're living in? Poor monkeys. I mean, you think about the monkeys. I mean, how about the bushmeat in the Bronx that's being sold? Remember the report we had in the Savage Nation a week ago? The guy called. He said, Mike, do you know that they're bringing in from Africa bushmeat and selling it under the table in the Bronx? I said, you're kidding me. We've gone from kosher butcher shops to untreated monkey meat in the Bronx in one generation? Is it any wonder I live in San Francisco? I'll be right back. It's Rock and Roll Friday. Lighten up. Trust your government. They're in charge of the war on terror. They're in charge of the war on Ebola. The economy is doing great. Things are coming up roses. All right. If it cannot be spread casual, how did the good doctor catch it? Take that message home, all you good liberals, and have that with your cappuccino tonight. Let's stop the music. Many of you don't understand what I'm saying to you. The government's saying it's hard to catch. I hate the word catch. That shows you ignorance to begin with. I mean, Obama, it's a hard disease to catch. Like everything's a baseball analogy. Catch, like it's just a common cold. Who wrote that for him? I mean, the correct word is contract. Contract, not catch. Catch is a child's word, like scary. I love Cuomo gets up and gives a speech. It's scary. Anytime you hear an adult use the word scary, you better run for the hills and make sure that you have food in the ground. The New York City Ebola patient passed new enhanced screening at JFK Airport, fell victim days later. Okay, so the big lie is that it cannot be spread casually. So how did he catch it? He must have gotten it casually. I mean, isn't it logical? Has logic gone out of the discussion in America? How? And that leads us to the next question. What are you going to do about it? And the answer is nothing. That's the answer. You're powerless to do anything. Just yesterday, the Health and Human Services Department of Barack Obama said that there is no epidemic of Ebola to fear. There's only an epidemic of fear in the U.S. Bingo, the next day the doctor catches Ebola. What is wrong with this country that everyone lies? Now, you ask yourself, why has there been no travel ban? I looked into this for you. I had to find the answer. Everyone who has a brain is screaming for a travel ban. And the only one who won't stop it is President Ebola. President Ebola will not stop travelers coming back and forth from West Africa. In fact, to add insult to injury, he's granting an increased number of travel permits to people from Liberia. But let's not go into that right away. Why won't he pass a travel ban? The travel lobby praised the Obama administration for not instituting a full Ebola travel ban. U.S. Travel Association President Roger Dow lauded the Ebola administration for not implementing a full travel ban that he claimed would be an overreaction. You hear who we're listening to? Yeah, a bag man for the Travel Association is now an expert in Ebola. That's an overreaction. No, we're cutting to ticket prices. Stop the mute. I don't know what to say. I'm right. They don't know Ebola from a bowling ball. I do. That's why you listen. But if you think this is the whole problem, you're mistaken. It's far bigger than Ebola. Much bigger than Ebola.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right. You know, I can tell jokes until kingdom come, but look, let's say you're just scanning the dial because you're freaking out over Ebola and you don't know who to listen to. Now, suddenly you stumble upon this guy with a great voice, with sarcasm. You say, well, who is this guy? Well, it's Michael Savage. The show's on 350 stations. I've been on radio 20 years. I've had 30 books published. My doctorate's from the University of California at Berkeley from 1978, including a portion of the doctorate in epidemiology. And a lot of people trust me. So here's the one take-home line before you turn the dial. Let's say you're in a taxi, an Uber job in New York City. I'm asking one question today. And take it home and ask yourself why your mayor hasn't asked this simple question. Right? Are you ready? If it cannot be spread casually, how did the doctor catch it? That's all. That's all. Now apply it to every speech you hear at Lincoln Center tonight from all your smart friends, all your Upper East Side doctors, like the type that choked Joan Rivers to death on her own fluids. I love it. All the genius. Oh, him? I got the top guy. I love New Yorkers. They all got the top guy. She had the top guy. He killed her. That's all. Top guy. That's what New Yorkers do. Everything is that someone's got something better than the other guy. He lives on 63rd. It's better than 64th. He lives on 3rd. It's better than Madison. Madison's really better, but not here, because although it's exposed on that, the way it looks, because of the building, although I live on 3rd, it's better than on Madison, and my doorman has better shoes. What doctor are you going to for the throat surgery? Mine is a top guy at Bellevue, and although he was a nut before he became a doctor, he became a better nut than the other doctor who ate nuts. Now listen to me. It's a simple question that even your smartest doctor should be able to answer you. Is there a smart doctor who can play chess with me right now? I want a liberal, smart-ass doctor. You can't use the word on the radio. Can I use ASS? It's allowed. It's not one of the FCC. Is there a liberal, smart-ass doctor from Manhattan who can call the show and prove me wrong and answer, if it cannot be spread casually, how did the doctor get it? Period. End of story. It's a simple one. Answer me. Because you know it's a logical, you can't beat that one. The logic is, it's not casually spread necessarily. It may be aerosolized. There may be droplets that are in the air around a patient. Unless you're telling me the doctor touched something. Now, you know, maybe he went out for a monkey sandwich or something during a... He took off the biohazard suit and he had some monkey on rye. I don't know what he ate over there. Maybe he had monkey on club. With a pickle on the side. KCMO, Kansas City. Kate, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Thank you for letting me come through with my call. I am calling to answer your question about are all doctors idiots. I'm not the doctor from Manhattan that you're asking for because I'm not a crazy liberal. I am a doctor, and I think that the answer to your question is yes, and I...
stop it. Wait a minute. That's logically not possible if you're saying yes, because it means that you're one. So you have to say yes with a qualification, doctor, wouldn't you?
Well, you could ask some of my family. There are things that I do that are pretty idiotic.
But why do you say most doctors are little nuts?
Right, right. And I will attribute a lot of my sense to my family, because one of my family's favorite lines is, if you think you're so smart, why'd you do something stupid like that? And I don't think enough doctors hear that.
Well, what do you mean? What do you mean? You did something stupid or doctors? Everyone makes mistakes.
Everybody makes mistakes, but...
All right, look at Dr. Obama. He's telling us that the Ebola epidemic is under control, and meanwhile he's secretly preparing a secret surge of millions of immigrants. His administration is asking vendors to bid on the production of 9 million new green cards in 1 year, but it gets worse. Our lawless president is right now issuing hundreds of visas to Liberians and green cards to Haitians at this time. And you know, doctor, that Haiti is a place where TB is endemic. Why would Obama bring in infected Haitians with tuberculosis, Liberians and Central American children with EDV 68? Why would he be doing that?
Well, but at the same time, then, why wouldn't more doctors raise their voices? I have a friend who was called to the emergency department this past summer, goes and intubates a child, finds out 5 days later that this child died and that the autopsy showed that the kid had cavitary lung lesions. And when my friend says that, I said, holy smokes, that kid had TB. And my friend's response is, yeah. And I said, aren't you outraged? And she said, no, I'm upset. And I said, well, you should be both outraged and upset. What is going on here? And the kid was an illegal. The mom in an adjacent hospital. Why aren't more doctors like me raising their hands and saying...
Oh, well, because you see, now you're going to be ostracized for telling the truth in an age of lies, an age of deceit, an age of obfuscation. But no, we've crossed the line. It's now reached the point of killer diseases being brought in because of Obama's open-door policy. It's time to slam the door shut, close the borders, put in a travel ban, and for God's sakes, report TB when it appears, doctor. But, you know, it's not just disease. Doc, listen, it's also the war on terror that's being lost. Obama's limp-wristed response to the ISIS threat, you know and I know, it's not getting the job done, right?
100%.
How about not calling a terror attack in Canada a terror attack, calling it instead senseless violence? Did that instill violence when we know that there are fanatical Muslims all over the place going berserk? Just yesterday in New York City, a guy hit a cop on the head with an axe. Did you see that story?
I did.
Yeah, you saw that he was a black power advocate going way back when. And you see some of the other racist writings of this man, and no one is talking about it because it doesn't fit the agenda of the Democrats before an election. Thank you for the call. Oh, my God. Woman who treated Ebola in Africa said it's possible to get it from a bowling ball? Who said that? Carl on WJR, what's your topic? Go ahead, please.
I just wanted to thank you, Dr. Savage, pretty much enlightening me. I'm a new listener. It's been about 2 months I've been listening to you. I'm trying to thank you for pretty much being the voice, I'm going to say, the voice of the people. Just want to thank you for everything that you've done and what you are doing.
Well, I'm glad you, like the show, and I am trying my best to save as many people as I can from the insanity that is like a plague unto itself. It's like a plague of insanity. And it's a plague of stupidity. Or let's put it another way, a plague of no reason. Let's say a plague of no reason. Now, speaking of the word plague, what we have here is a plague. It's not the plague, but Ebola is a plague. That's what it is. It's a plague in Africa right now. It's not the plague. I know the plague is transmitted. I know it's a bacillus. I get it. But it is a plague. I mean, the word plague applies here. Do you remember the book, all of you raise your hands who have any literary background, meaning you used to read before the internet came along and now you become basically illiterate. You may be intelligent, but you're illiterate. You haven't read a book in years. Remember the writer Albert Camus, the great French existentialist from the 1950s? Well, Albert Camus wrote a book called The Plague back in, I think, the late 40s or early 50s, and it was about, it was called La Peste. I had to read it in the original French for a class I took. And it was about a plague that occurred, I believe, in Algeria. Now, Camus was an interesting figure, for those of you who remember literature. Remember, he died in a car crash. He wrapped his car around a tree. He was still a young man in his 40s. Well, he was the ultimate hipster as an author, if you remember Camus' imagery. And he was a dark prophet of resistance, number one. I think he fought in the French resistance. But he was a hipster of his time. He was a smoker, cafe philosopher. But he was a messenger and a harbinger of bad tidings. Tough guy. Prince of cool. In fact, Belmondo, the great French actor of his time, Belmondo modeled himself in part on the real Camus. I don't know if you know any of this. I know everything. But the novel, The Plague, is set in the stricken city of Oran in Algeria. And what the story says, it's not so much about the plague. It's about the hopelessness of the plague. And it's about the fact that the existentialists believe that whether the plague be that of a bacillus or a virus or Nazis or communists, it's a plague. that hits all people, whether you're good or bad. It doesn't matter who you are. And at the end of the day, while they close off the town, everyone becomes stricken by the plague. I'm talking literary-wise now. Don't jump to conclusion. And it's an allegory about a plague, about tormented deaths, about heroic struggle. It's analyzed from every possible angle you can imagine, but it's a tragedy. And the central theme of the story is about the character Tarot, who asks this question: can one be a saint without God? To which a character named Dr. Ryu responds, heroism and sanctity don't really appeal to me. What interests me is being a man. But what does that mean? Well, at the same time Camus was writing, maybe I should stop right now. This is not a literary class. But it's a book called The Plague, filled with pessimism, filled with misanthropy. And these elements have been lost in America today. Everyone is on antidepressants, and everyone's filled with optimism in America. Everyone's filled with love of mankind. Everyone's filled with this jingoism that nothing will defeat us. But the theme of the book, The Plague, is that no one is immune from the plague, wrote Camus. Did you hear? And he didn't mean just the plague at that time, the physical plague. He was also writing an allegory about, I think, Nazism at the time. But the thing for you to remember is this, is that what is vice and what is virtue? Well, he said the most incorrigible vice is that of ignorance. Ignorance, which pretends it knows everything and therefore claims for itself the right to kill. That's what he was writing in the book. And people in the midst of this plague search for a way of being human beyond heroism and sanctity. And they don't find it. They don't find it. There's no way out of it. And that's the whole story. In other words, you have to read Sartre and Camus to understand what I'm trying to say here. And that is, I'm not trying to say anything other than the plague. A book called The Plague was written way back when by Camus. But it's something I wanted to mention for you, only because it came to my mind last night. And let's pray that this plague of Ebola does not get out of control. Let's pray that sensible citizens force the government to act correctly and institute a travel ban to and from Africa and institute a quarantine of anyone coming from Africa of at least 45 days. That would be the least you can do. That would be the least you could do, instead of putting out this optimistic garbage written by public relations gals who are on drugs themselves. This is the Savage Nation, my friends. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Only over 15 years old again, and I could turn the clock back and be me. Wow, that would be fun. It's a problem to know so much. It's like the man who knew too much. Sometimes I feel like my head's going to explode like a watch with too many parts in it. And I ask myself, how can I be sitting here before a microphone broadcasting to America? And how can I be a lone voice on this issue of Ebola? I don't understand how much like the ex-Soviet Union this country has become under this dictatorship. The fear that Obama must instill in people behind closed doors is something that must be terrifying. The fear that this Gestapo of his must impose upon the media. There's a media blackout on the truth. It's like the Gestapo. They scare them. I don't mean with the threat of a concentration camp. Don't rush to conclusions right away and call Jake Tapperwood. I'm talking about the fear of you'll have no access, the fear of you'll be closed off, the fear of we won't give you this, we won't give you that, the fear of the audits, the fear of the this and the that this Gestapo-like administration seems to enforce across the land. And I'm talking about Ebola now. I could talk about all the other subjects till I'm blue in the face. It wouldn't matter. But now when you realize that the incompetence and the lies of this administration are such that they've put us all at risk of this epidemic, and they have. Oh, they have. Oh, believe me, they have. And let me remind you something else that I said. Old Dr. Savage said this 4 weeks ago, because I wrote it in a book in 1981. Microbes do not discriminate. They don't know if you're a good liberal who gave to the Democrat Party USA. They could care less if you gave money to Obama personally and got his autographed picture. A microbe doesn't care who you are. black, white, Hispanic, gay, straight, doesn't matter. Microbes do not discriminate. They're quite fair microbes. And in this case, the virus seems to not discriminate at all. Here was a good doctor, goes to Africa, comes back asymptomatic, doesn't know he contracted it, must have gotten it casually. Where'd he get it from? If it's so hard to catch, Mr. Obama, how did this good doctor catch it? I'll keep saying it until it filters into the American head. You understand what I'm saying? WSBA, York, Pennsylvania. Dave, welcome to the Savage Nation. Fire away.
Hi, Michael. I just have a question. I've heard you lately in the last few days, many weeks, saying to really saying to vote Republican. And in the past, when you've been frustrated, I've heard you say there's not a dime's of a difference between the two.
That is correct. But my entire book, Stop the Coming Civil War, comes to one conclusion. There was only one conclusion I can draw after a year and a half of study, and that is this. The Democrat Socialist Islamist Party of Obama is a closed shop, unreachable, untouchable. They're like the untouchables. The Republican Party has several elements that do listen to the people, that do represent the values that can save us, borders, language, and culture. And so in 10 days or so, when you go to the polls and throw the Democrat bums out and put in the Republicans while holding your nose, we are then going to start the hard work. And the hard work is going to be to lobby all of the Republican Party to support closing the borders, enforcing English as the language of the land. No voting in 7 or 8 languages. You learn English or you don't vote at all. Voter ID across America. And, of course, borders, language, and culture entails the culture of America, which is firmly rooted in a real culture, a true culture. And I don't have to spell it out. But that's what we're going to do, my friend. And I hope you'll see the wisdom of my conclusion. There is no third party. And to not vote means to give Obama the power he has, but magnify it for the next 2 years in which he could destroy this country. We need to stop him cold with the Republican Senate. And then, as I say, in Stop the Coming Civil War, which is a manual, by the way, for saving the country, you have 10 days to buy a copy and convert one person in your family, a friend or a neighbor, to reality. Show them the damage that the Democrats have done to this country.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
6 minutes after the hour, listening to the one and only Savage Nation. And here's the thing. I got to tell you something new. You know, I've been on the air 20 years. I don't think I've ever said what I'm about to say. Not that it's that big a revelation, but I think it needs to be said right now. We have a killing epidemic that entered America because Obama doesn't know Ebola from Shinola. Remember, Ebola was not here until recently. And the only reason it entered our continent is because this left-wing fanatic would not use common sense and close the borders, number one, but number two, suspend flights. I've been screaming about it. I can't be the only one in the country who's been saying it. Now many are saying it, fine, but I was the first to say it. And I said it often, and I repeated it over and over again. But I want to say this to you. Being on the radio is a privilege. It's not a right. And many of us forget that in talk radio. We often say anything that comes to our mind, and I'm as guilty of it as anyone else. Whatever comes to our mind, because it's a tough job. You have to fill 2-3 hours a day. You get carried away. Your personal opinions start to overtake your logical faculties, and then you get caught up. I've done it. But the point is that this is a privilege. And with this privilege comes a responsibility. And that responsibility is to try to help the people arrive at their own truths. That's the bottom line. That's the truth. In other words, if we really don't believe what we're talking about, you'll know it right off the bat. You know how they say the truth has a certain ring to it? Hemingway wrote that. The truth has a certain ring to it. He was talking about the written word. And we all know what it is. That's how we survive and thrive. We know the difference between BS and the truth. We either can hear it or see it, or we read it and we know what the truth is. And I'm trying to elevate the discussion on Ebola to a level where people can come to their own conclusion. So when you hear so-called health officials giving us the same propaganda every day, such as de Blasio or Obama or you know, whoever, Cuomo, you're not hearing the truth, in my opinion. They all say the same thing. They're reading the script put out for them by the fraud artists at the CDC who held onto their jobs with the malarkey. Malarkey for the last 20 years. And they're applying the same rhetoric of the AIDS epidemic to the Ebola epidemic, which is a clear and present disaster for humanity. I don't think you comprehend, unless you're in the field of health professionalism, I don't think you understand what I'm saying to you. Fauci with the white coat and Frieden are putting out the same protocols that they used to control the AIDS epidemic. It's not working, is it? It's not going to work, will it? No. The only thing that will work is a travel ban. And as in the case of this doctor who came back after treating patients in Africa, is a 45-day mandatory quarantine in the country in which they treated the people. Not here, no. You don't come back here and sit in the bowling lane for 45 days having French fries and a beer. No, no. You are quarantined in the country in which you just performed your services. That's the answer right there, boys and girls. Don't leave any viruses on the table. No, don't leave any viruses on the table. Keep them in Africa, where they originated, from eating bush meat. Not anything I just said is fraudulent. Everything is true. But why is this happening? The New York City doctor passed the new enhanced screening at JFK Airport. So what are the screening methods? They're worthless. Again, window dressing put out by the government. Oh, we have new protocols. The guy returns from Guinea on October 17th. The so-called CDC, which is really the Center for Disease Dissemination. I renamed it the CDD, not the CDC. The Centers for Disease Dissemination had enhanced screening protocols. And he went right through. That's all. So you're saying the CDC and Obama are not responsible for letting West African travelers back into America while requiring airport screening that can't identify patients? What has to happen for you to come to the conclusion that I came to from the get-go? Right off the starting line, I knew who this character was. Right off the starting line, I saw through this fraud. I saw the plague that was coming to this country. He brought a plague, not a plague solely of a viral plague, but a plague on our schools, a plague on our science, a plague on our civil rights laws, a plague on medicine itself, a plague on our allies like Israel, a plague on the U.S. military, a plague on our borders, a plague on our language, a plague on our culture. How was I able to know this from the get-go? Because I've studied totalitarian regimes ever since I'm 18 years old. Whether they be right-wing or left-wing didn't matter to me. You could call a Hitler on one hand, you could call a Stalin on the other, didn't matter to me. And I saw how they grew. But I was amazed at how this man was able to pull this off so seamlessly. He never raised his voice, he never got angry. Very smooth talker, great voice, nice-looking guy. And look where we are today. The military is deballed. It's supposed to be able to fight two wars at any time around the globe. Right now, can't fight one war against a ragtag army without heavy equipment. Go figure. They've been at war now how long with ISIS? And ISIS is still stronger, as strong as it was. How is that possible? They're supposed to be able to fight Ebola. Ebola now has entered the country. They haven't been able to do that. So my first chapter is graduating to treason, question mark. And I quote a man in Abraham Lincoln's time, way back in 1861, one line. You ready? I cannot comprehend the madness of the times. Treason is in the air around us everywhere. It goes by the name of patriotism. That was Thomas Corwin to Abraham Lincoln. It's the opening line to stop the coming Civil War. And then I ask a question. Will the Obama inner circle of extremist left-wing radicals trigger an event that will provoke an American insurrection, even a civil war? And then I ask, is this concern to be dismissed as a right-wing conspiracy? And then I explain what the left-wingers have been doing to this country. All of them. Regularly. Without stop. And now we come to the final stage of the madness of the left, which is the Ebola epidemic. They're incapable of stopping it because their mindset is incapable. It's not that they're incapable. They'd be very capable if they were flexible-minded. But they're not flexible-minded. They're rigid. They're locked into their left-wing doxies of open borders, travel is a right, you name it. Immigrants are good. All immigrants come here to work. See, these are the doxies, the religious doxies of the religion called liberalism. Well, as we found out, that the doxies are false. But they're as locked into these doxies as any religious fanatic. And their doxies are that of religious fanatics. Only in their case, their religion is a political religion called liberalism. And it's not good for the health of women and other living things, to mock a poster from the 70s or 80s. Used to say, war is not good for children and other living things. I would say that left-wing fanaticism is not good for women and other living things, especially our children who are being exposed to tuberculosis and EDV-68 from Central American children brought in by Obama this summer by the trainload, and you don't hear anything about it, that it's related to them, because, again, it's like Stalinist times in America now. The Gestapo that runs the Obama administration has so clamped down on everyone in the academic science professions and in the journalistic professions, which hardly exist anymore. They hardly exist. They're crawling on their belly, almost dying. A true journalist is hard to find. Where is the report connecting the ED68 viral epidemic that's in America, brought in, connected to the children that Obama brought in by the trainload this summer? It's out there, but you have to search far and wide to find it. It's been shown to be connected, and I've been talking about it for 4 weeks now on the Savage Nation. And so if you're a man alone, like crying in the wilderness, you know, at a certain point, you stop. You give in. You say that I can't do this anymore. Well, I haven't given up yet. How's that possible? Why is it that I haven't given up? Why do I get up every day, no matter how tired I may be, exhausted I may be, or in this case, hungover from a big meal last night? My family just flew back from New York, and we went out to a Chinese meal. I mean, we ate really like a banquet. It was unbelievable. And you put food around me, I can't stop. The saltier, the better. A special sauce of ginger sauce out in the avenues here in San Francisco, the best Chinese food in the universe. And I must admit, I had two 25-year-old scotches before going and a couple of beers at the restaurant. Now, admittedly, I shouldn't have had four drinks, but I did. Because I do remember that I remember the 70s when there was a discussion of what, you know, alcohol, two drinks a day is good, the AMA said. But the British medical establishment said that five ounces of absolute alcohol a day was good. So I decided to follow the British. And the irony here is that I got banned in Britain. All right, go figure them. It's not directly related. But I followed the British Medical Association rather than the AMA. They said five. The Americans said two. I took the five. I don't do five every night, not anymore. I don't do that. But last night I did a four-ski. It could have been larger because I don't think they were singles. They were doubles. Okay, that's irrelevant. What I'm saying is when I woke up this morning, I said, I've got to do the show today on Ebola. I have an obligation to my audience. I could have taken the day off. I could have gotten one of the good fill-ins who fill in for me. I really wanted to stay in bed. I didn't have a hangover. I'm just tired, right? So I said, you know, I got a job to do. This is my job. This is my job, so I've come before you to tell you the truth. And I've got to ask you one question. Is there anyone listening to this show who disagrees with me on one point? Now, the one point is that Cuomo on Ebola and de Blasio on Ebola and Obama on Ebola and Frieden on Ebola are putting out the very same party line. You can't catch it casually. And I asked one question. If it's so hard to catch, how did this good doctor catch it? And no one's answered the question because it's a logical conclusion to the fact that they are making a mistake. So my first article was they don't know Ebola from Shinola. Now I'm going to change it from they don't know Ebola to a bowling ball. You see, this is the follow-up, the sequel to the bowling, to the Ebola, Shinola, Ebola, Ebola. But it gets worse than that. Here is Governor Mario Cuomo putting out the same PAP in clip number four today, the same exact PAP that they're trying to feed you. Listen to four.
Unfortunately, Dallas was the first case, the first impression, and we all learned from Dallas. We've had weeks to prepare. We took it very, very seriously. We've had one of the most comprehensive preparation efforts in the country. The state has about 200 hospitals. We trained all 200 hospitals. We identified eight hospitals.
Very good. I'm glad you got treated. But as usual, you're behind the curve. You know, for 20 years, I was in the business of preventive medicine. And we used to argue that the AMA knows how to treat things very well, and we respected them for that. but they're not into preventing disease. And we were studying Chinese medicine. I was writing books on preventive medicine, preventing disease. That was the whole reason I got up in the morning for over 20 years. I worked on preventing disease because the doctors are good at treating disease. We love them for it. None of us would be alive today, was it not for the medical establishment. And I certainly respect it for that. But in terms of preventive medicine, the American Medical Society is just woefully behind the times. And when it comes to Ebola now, you can see again it's the same mindset that is preventing them from preventing the illness from the disease from spreading. They're talking again about treating Ebola, not about preventing Ebola. Now, why would Cuomo and the others be so quick to want to treat Ebola? There's only one answer, and the answer is greed. And they make a fortune. These companies, you have no idea the fortunes that are being made and will be made on this Ebola epidemic. You have no idea. If you think that fortunes have been made on Obamacare and will be made on Obamacare, you're right. But they dwarf in comparison to the money that's going to be raked in on this Ebola epidemic. Think about it. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Well, maybe next we'll have Johnny Depp give us a speech on how to protect ourselves against Ebola, along with Mario Cuomo and Governor Cuomo and de Blasio and Obama. They may get some Hollywood actors next to tell us how to. We should trust the government. I mean, they're experts on everything. Maybe they can get older actresses like Melanie Griffith to come out as an expert on Ebola with some, you know, commercials. Now, the doctor is a nice guy, good liberal. Remember, Doctors Without Borders is fundamentally an internationalist group of doctors that don't believe there should be borders. And they donate their time. That's to be admired. But they don't believe in borders, you see. Isn't it ironic that old Dr. Spencer went to Guinea to work for Doctors Without Borders, was diagnosed with Ebola in New York City yesterday, despite navigating the CDC's enhanced screening protocol at JFK Airport? He worked in a full biohazmat suit. Full hazmat gear in Western Africa. So the question that is being asked by people with any kind of intelligence is, how did he contract the disease? Not catch the disease, Mr. Obama. That's what you tell children in the first grade. You catch the disease. Catch it. No, it's contract the disease. How did he get it? Well, he was mingling with citizens, number one. You know, good doctors do that. They go third world, you know, when they're over there. It's like the Peace Corps. They want to get native. So there's a picture of Dr. Spencer. This is a very telling picture, by the way, in the story linked from the Daily Mail on michaelsavage.com. They show him eating in one of these third world restaurants, which I've eaten in my years in Fiji, Tonga, Samoa, the Marquesas. But he's eating without a fork. He's got his hand in the bowl. He is eating his food with bare hands. So what? A doctor's in a country plagued with Ebola. He's got a hazmat suit on when he's working with them, but he's going off duty. He's eating in one of these third world African restaurants with his hands. Say, why? Well, he wants to get native. He wants to show he's not like one of the evil colonists who came over a long time ago. You know, he's one of the good ones. He's a good man. So in order to be a good man, he's got to show he's like them. So he eats with his hands now. Maybe that's how he got it. Maybe the food preparation was dreck in the country. You ever think, first of all, you know, it was like Mexico years ago. Who would eat in Mexico and not expect to get La Turista? Nobody. Who would drink water in Mexico without expecting to get Turista? Nobody. It was well known you got Turista if you went to Mexico. How can a doctor that's this smart do that? Now, listen to the soundbite that's coming. Here is a moronic reporter in New York. I swear to God. You got to listen to this to believe this.
To come in intimate contact with it while the person is infected. Now, if you came across some strange mucus or feces or something out there on the subway, the street, or anywhere else, you know, don't eat it. You know, don't let it get into your body. Don't touch it.
Eat it, Doc. What do you do in your spare time? I mean, where do you hang out, Doc? Could you believe who is in the media would say a thing like that? I didn't make that up. That was not a soundbite we created for you. Is that a journalist or a journalist, a professional journalist? Don't eat feces. You hear this? Wow, he's got an automatic ticket right into the CDC now. He could become a worker for sure in there.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
When corruption reaches a critical mass in a nation, everything becomes corrupted. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. And under Obama, whose entire administration is built upon lies and corruption, in my estimation, in my opinion, and it's an educated opinion based upon study and based upon three important books, including the latest, the corruption that has now permeated this administration has spilled over into the sciences and medicine, and they're incapable of knowing the truth and protecting us from the Ebola epidemic. Did you hear what I just said? I mean, I stand by those words. That's how I see it. And the corruption, of course, spills over into the media, as you well know. For example, a few weeks ago, a lightweight who pretends to be a heavyweight, who is way out of his league, named Jake Tipper, tried to attack me, but I want you to see it in the context of what we now know. Listen to this entire exchange. I wasn't on CNN, of course. They gave a one-sided view to begin with. They didn't ask me my opinion. This guy is so much of a lightweight, they didn't even say have Savage on to debate me. No. Listen to Jake Tipper now from CNN about attacking Michael Savage.
Speaking of wild conspiracy theories, conservative talk radio host Michael Savage, who has one of the biggest radio audiences in the country, has even been suggesting that this is all some Obama plot to purposely infect the nation.
There is not a sane reason to take 3,000 or 4,000 troops and send them into a hot Ebola zone without expecting at least one of them to come back with Ebola, unless you want to infect the nation with Ebola.
It's hard to even know where to start with that one. The idea that the president wants to infect soldiers and then Americans, it's so unhinged we should probably not bother dignifying it with fact-checking.
Apparently he went to the Dan Rather School of Journalism where he learned to drag out sentences for drama. He studied this in front of a mirror with his mama behind him. But he makes no sense. If you actually listen to what I said, I was using a form of argument known as reducto ad absurdum, which, of course, they didn't teach in the professional school of journalism. They don't even know what reducto means. But the fact of the matter is, if you send 3,000 to 5,000 troops to Africa, I was suggesting it's logical to conclude at least one of them will come back asymptomatic. Well, hello. Here's a doctor just came back, quite symptomatic. And now look at the trouble we have with one doctor. So now you're putting 3,000 young men and women into never should have been done. Never! Never! It was a crime against our Defense Department. I've been screaming from rooftops about what... Let me slow down. It's Friday. I need some rock and roll. I can't take it anymore. You know, the curtain's going to fall after the show is over, and then I'm going to have like 72 hours off of shore leave. And on the shore leave, I've got to like stop looking at the madness of our times. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to stop looking at the madness. It gets worse by the second. The corruption in the mindset of this administration is so bad that they don't even understand the average person doesn't trust the word they say. No one listens to them and believes a word they say. No one anymore. No one. Here in California, Jerry Brown is trailing with white voters. They're finally on to this fraud. But he has a massive lead amongst illegal aliens, mainly Latinos. That's why he's cultivated them. The entire election, by the way, we just found out, illegal votes could decide the election. It's a headline on Drudge. Read the article. It's shocking. Like I've not been telling you that for 5 years. What do you think they fought voter ID so long and so hard? How do you think these corrupt white men get power and stay in power? How do you think these corrupt individuals grab power and stay in power? Through illegal voters. That's how. The people who have a brain and have a modicum of reason understand that they're corrupt. They understand that. So here we are. What's this now? Terror connection not ruled out and hatchet attack, police say. You hear this one? Oh, they still won't say Islamic extremism. The black guy who fractured the skull of Officer Kenneth Healy at 2 p.m. yesterday in Jamaica, Queens. Videotape and witness accounts apparently showed Mr. Thompson intentionally targeting four rookie officers. But right away, the NYPD commissioner said, there's nothing we know at this time that would indicate that Islamic terrorism is the case. Move on. Move along. There's nothing to be seen here. Go ahead. Nothing Islamic. But then if you look carefully, Mr. Thompson has a Facebook page, which includes a passage from the Quran. Let's stop right there. Oh, but there's no relationship to Islam. I see. Passage from the Quran. It's not a passage from the New Testament. A photograph of a masked militant. And they're saying there's no suspected terror ties. I had more faith in William Bratton. I really did. But apparently the corruption is now spilled over to everyone. But it gets even better. Mr. Thompson, who hit the rookie officer in the head with an axe, had so many vile things to say that you won't believe this. He called for revolution on American soil on his Facebook page. But the messages were no longer visible this morning, Friday. Here's what it said, though. We still have them. Quote, America's military is strong abroad, but they have never faced an internal mass revolt, Thompson posted on the social media site. They are weaker at home. We are scattered and decentralized. We can use this as an advantage. They are centralized and strong, which can be exploited as a weakness. Think of a swarm of bees, and he wrote this word, not me. Think of a swarm of bees, parenthesis, Negroes, close parenthesis, that surround and attack an elephant, parenthesis, America, close parenthesis, to death. The suspect also called for guerrilla warfare. Helicopters, big military, will be useless on their own soil. Another post said, they will not be able to defeat our people. Our people? If we use guerrilla warfare. Attack their weak flanks. If you get wounded, who cares? If you die, who cares? Eventually, they will surrender, and then the war will be over. Thompson was a very educated proponent of black power. And a graduate of the College of New Rochelle in Harlem. Okay. But the police chief says there's no indication that there's Islamic terrorism in the case. Okay, so what is it then? Workplace violence? He held up a hatchet in two hands like a baseball bat and swung three times. The first swing broke the cop's arm, while the second was a miss. The third struck Officer Healy in the back of the head. The cops yelled, drop it. He raised his arm up high and brought it straight down on the cop's head. I see. And where is he now? Has he been given a job in the Obama administration, or has he been invited for MSNBC for a job? Him and Al Sharpton can have a duet. Is he still living? I don't even know the rest of the story. They shoot him dead, or he's going to get a little trial now? Is he alive? I don't even know. Or has he been offered a job to do a duet with Al Sharpton on MSNBC? Terror connection not ruled out in hatchet attack, police say. Is he alive? Fracture the skull? But move along. There's nothing to be seen here. See, this is what I mean by corruption. If William Bratton says that there's no connection to Islamic terrorism, even though he has a quote from the Quran on his site, a masked militant on his site, rhetoric from the Islamic madness. There's no connection, though. Did the cops shoot him? He's dead. Oh, thank God. Whoa, that was a close call. Thank God. Thank God one rat is dead. That's all. No trial. I have to listen to in a jail now. Give him meals, special meals in a jail cell, and have special cops come, special imams come in, and special outfits. What a world. What a world. So what would you like me to talk about? Bowling? They don't know Ebola from a bowling ball? Ebola is a trial run. Oh, this is a weird one. Yeah, this is very weird. Obama gave a speech in which he said Ebola is a trial run for a deadlier airborne disease. It was picked up on Prison Planet. And you really have to hear it now on the Savage Nation in clip two. Listen to this weird soundbite.
There may come a time, sometime in the future, where we are dealing with a airborne disease that is much easier to catch and is deadly. And in some ways, this has created a trial run for federal, state, and local public health officials and healthcare providers, as well as the American people, to understand the nature of that and why it's so important that we're continually building out our public health systems, but we're also practicing them and keeping them in tip-top shape and investing in them.
Again, investing, more money. See, it's about the grift. It's about the grift, that's all. They want to get a couple of trillion off this one. The global warming thing went up in smoke. They can't push it even though they're pushing it. No one believes that malarkey anymore. So now they got the Ebola. That's real. You know, the other thing they could get away with for years. They made billions off it. They're moving on to their next scam. So there we are. But then Governor Cuomo is not to be outdone either. He keeps going on about it's hard to catch. Hard to catch. Hard to catch. And he rode the subway. Hard to catch. Hard to catch. Hard to catch. Hard to catch. Well, close the flights, that's all. New York City Health Commissioner, Dr. Mary Bassett, named on the road subway after. Let's listen to the health commissioner from New York City, another political apparatchik in 13.
We know that during the time that the patient was home before he became sick, that he did leave his apartment. We are aware that he went on a 3-mile jog, sign that he was feeling quite well. And he also took the subway system.
She's a real wackadoodle. I mean, how do they get these jobs? They pick real wackos to get these jobs in the health departments. Listen to 14 now. If you looked at her, you'd say, wow, I have confidence in the New York City Health Commissioner.
She we know that he's sentence. Ridden on
she
the
She sounds
a
like she needs an aspirin and a bromo-seltzer.
The L train. We're still getting more information about this, but we know that yesterday that he went to a bowling alley in Williamsburg. He was feeling
so
well at that
for?
Time.
What is she on?
Except for his feeling of fatigue.
What is this, like, afferent voice of hers in a time like this? What are they on, these people? Is this some medication they give out at the Blasio Mansion? There's one thing, you know, the E-train now in Manhattan will have a new meaning. E for Ebola. We know that the doctor rode the A train, but we don't know if he rode the E train. But it'll have a whole new meaning now if you ride the E train. I used to ride the E train to go to work. Hey, do you have Duke Ellington, the A train? Because he took the A train. Get Duke Ellington while we listen to the health commissioner, Dr. Mary Bassett. She has the delivery of a Basset hound.
We are aware that he has been in close contact with his fiance and with two friends. All three of these contacts are healthy and are being quarantined.
Oh, my God. Why does she talk so slow? Duke Ellington, the A-train. This is in honor of the doctor who rode the A-train. You know, when I retire from radio, if I'm still living, if I don't just fall over and the microphone slams against the desk and I'm dead, if the time comes that I actually say I'm hanging up my... I'm just not doing it anymore. I'm not writing books. You're never going to hear from me. I think I'm going to spend my entire life riding a bicycle. I've decided I never want to get off my bicycle, except to come home and use the facilities because I hate public restrooms. No, serious. I think I could ride my bicycle for eternity. That's what I think I want to do. This beautiful Italian bike I have. Just ride around, look at things, take a ride through cliché, listen to the clichés being spoken. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back. Come back, my love, by the Wrens. It's like Come Back America. Where is America? Where did it go? 6 years in America has gone up in smoke. Obama doesn't know Ebola from a bowling ball. And if it's so hard to catch, how did this good doctor catch it? And if it cannot be spread casually, how did he catch it? They don't know sarin from saran wrap. That's what I feel about these people I'm listening to. They wouldn't know the difference between sarin and saran wrap, let alone Ebola and Shinola. But the craziest thing we heard so far today was not so much the wackadoodle health commissioner who was just so afferent in slow talk. Here's an Ebola epidemic. She's going on and on. It's a rambling speech giving us the garbage about the A-train. Who was that New York One anchor giving Ebola advice, don't eat feces or mucus that you find on the street? Listen to clip 18. This takes the cake.
You have to come in intimate contact with it while the person is infected. Now, if you came across some strange mucus or feces or something out there on the subway, the street, or anywhere else, you know, don't eat it. You know, don't let it get into your body. Don't touch it.
I'm flabbergasted. Is there insanity in the land? And I don't. Am I the last sane person left in the media? Sometimes I feel like there's insanity everywhere. Wherever I turn, I hear insanity. It's so palpable coming out of the mouths of these insane people, politicians, journalists, so to speak, that it's palpable. You can touch it. The man says, don't eat feces if you see it in the street. And he still has a job the next minute. In my day, right away to Creedmoor, they come, take him away. The guy's nuts. Lock him up, Thorazine, straitjackets, therapy, 45 days, let him out on observation, Bellevue. Now, the next day, he's probably invited to the CDC to become public relations spokesman. Hey, that guy really doesn't. Don't eat those feces. Don't touch that mucus in the street, and don't eat it if you find it. Hey, yeah, okay, that's a good one. Let's run with that one, Josh Earnest. Run with that one. Let's get it up there. Let's have a new press conference. Get the big guy out. Get him off the golf course. We're having a new conference. If you find mucus or feces, don't eat it. That's the new public health advice from the Obama administration. Oh, yes, okay. Comedic in the political arena has always worked for me. How about you? Travel lobby praises Obama for not instituting fully Ebola travel ban. You hear this? So now he's listening to the travel lobby instead of the common sense. Put in a travel ban, quarantine anyone who comes back from Africa for 45 days. At least you could contain the disease. But no, no siree, Bob. Well, we're almost out of time in this hour. And I want to thank you for listening. Have a wonderful weekend. Go ride the A-train, go bowling, whatever you need to do to relax. Take an A-train over to Brooklyn, you know, throw a few bowling balls around in the gutter. Have a hot dog. Eat with your hands in an open bowl. In fact, you should ask for liquid to be poured into the palms of your hand in the bowling alley because you can't catch it casually. And would you please check out a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War in order to convert one person in your family from the D to the R column just in time to save the election. Why? Because if we don't, it's all over. And I don't want to spend the rest of my life riding a bicycle through cliche.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Come back, America. Innocence lost.
Great balls.
6 years of this fanatic, and look where we are already. Military was designed after World War II to be able to fight on two fronts, two wars at the same time. Right now, we can't even defeat a ragtag army without an air force, without heavy weapons, in the middle of a desert. It's not that they can't do it. They can wipe them out in probably 3 days, 4 days. Kill them all. Atomize them. Kill them all with their spawn. But we have a weak-willed leader, or something worse, someone maybe a little sympathetic, a little too much sympathetic for the other team. Who knows? We don't really know. See, when it comes to that, we can argue over it, because many libs hate the military, so it's not a biggie. But when it comes to Ebola now, that's another story. Now we find out they don't know Ebola from Shinola, or as I said today, they don't know Ebola from a bowling ball. And they keep putting out the big lie, oh, it's hard to catch. And I've asked now for two straight hours, if it's so hard to catch, how did this good doctor catch it? No one's answered the question. You have an answer to that? No, because there is no answer, because it's not hard to catch. It might be real easy to catch. That's all. So do what you want. Go ride the A-train in New York tomorrow and go eat in a bowling alley with your fingers. If you can't join the conversation, the phone number is 855-407-282. I believe we should absolutely impose a 45-day restriction on anyone who has been to those countries. 45 days of quarantine before they're allowed back in the country, and a zero tolerance for any travelers from these countries, except medical personnel in and out, supplies in and out. That's it. 30 countries have already imposed such travel bans, but it doesn't apply to Obama because he thinks since he got away with everything thus far, he can get away with Ebola too. Don't you understand what corruption does to the human soul? It corrupts the human soul and the human reason itself. In other words, if you can get away with Fast and Furious, you get away with IRS, you can get away with anything you've done, and nobody can touch you, you're untouchable. She figures, what's an Ebola epidemic to him? He can get away with that too. Just march out the Schmendricks with the stethoscopes and the white lab coats, just back from Martinizing, and they'll give you a speech on it. Everything's fine, just listen to us, you know, move along. Meanwhile, we have homegrown terrorist attacks going on virtually on a regular basis now. Yesterday, a guy with an axe attacks three police, split one of their heads open. Thank God the other rookie shot that piece of garbage dead, just knocked him right down. They didn't bring him in for questioning to ask Eric Holder if they're allowed to shoot him. They were quick on the draw, hands off. A round of applause for the rookies that he attacked. Little black power advocate there, huh? That's what he was writing about on his Facebook page. So he's a lone wolf, my eye. They're all part of a network. They're communicating with each other on the internet. Don't give me the lone wolf garbage, like Canada, lone wolf, lone wolf, lone wolf, lone wolf this, lone wolf that. They don't want you to know there's a whole army of them in this country, and they're attacking little by little now. It's like the Ebola epidemic. It's getting out of control because the government won't control it. And the lone wolf attacks are increasing because the government won't crack down on radical Islamists. And believe me, they have the power to do so. Believe me. That's all. It's that simple. Anyone still living who grew up in the... I think most of the people are dead who grew up with fathers who had cars with plastic on their seats. You know what I'm saying? To preserve. What did they protect the seats for? They were going to keep the car, what, for 35 years? Well, okay, today it would be worth something if they protected the seats with plastic. But that, they thought that it's a car. It lasts. You don't buy another one every 3 years on time. I remember when I was a kid, if a guy bought a better car than like my father had, he's cheating because he bought it on credit. My father thought that if you paid cash, you were an honest man. And if you bought it on credit, like paid off, you paid it off on time, you were cheating somehow because you were living beyond your means. If you think about that mindset, we'd be living in a Quonset hut, all of us, and riding like a unicycle. We're all living beyond our means today. Way beyond our means, truthfully. It ain't easy to do so either. How about Leslie Gore, It's My Party? It's my party and you can come in. I could just see her on the boardwalk at Fort Lauderdale with dentures at night. With the sizzling dentures. With the Martha Ray sizzler. All right, it's enough already. Knock it off. I think I'm going to just do rock and roll this whole segment. Here's a nice one. Hank Williams Sr., Jambalaya. A little something about seafood. I had so much seafood last night. I feel like a shrimp right now. Come back, America. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Yep, there was another fence jumper at the White House. And they didn't shoot him. Can anyone explain this to me? The guy jumps the fence. He body slams a police dog, almost broke the dog's back. And the Secret Service didn't shoot him. Why is that? They shot that black woman 2 years ago. She was unarmed. She was in a car a half a mile from the White House with a baby in the back. Why did they execute her? No answer. I'm the only one who covered the story. That's all. What did she have on who what? What did she know that they didn't want anyone to hear what? We don't know. Now, I was on a Skype show the other day. I don't know where it is in the sound department. They invited me on to talk about Stop the Coming Civil War. It was the Rick Amato show. I didn't know the gentleman. It was a nice interview. How long is it, Neil? Do we have time to... Because it's a six-minute job. Listen to this interview with One America's News Network on the Savage Nation.
I've received a lot of email these last couple of weeks telling me I didn't have the you-know-what to bring on Michael Savage as a guest. Oh, I do, and we have. Joining us at this time via Skype from San Francisco is New York Times best-selling author, mega-successful radio talk show host, and author of his newest book, Stop the Coming Civil War, My Savage Truth, Dr. Michael Savage. Michael Savage, welcome to the program.
Hi, Rick. Thanks for having me on. So, obviously, if you like your terrorism, you can keep your terrorism under Obama, and if you like your Ebola, you can keep your Ebola. Nothing's changed. Could you imagine this man had the nerve to say yesterday's shooting in Canada was senseless violence?
Unbelievable.
When we all know it was Islamic terrorism?
It's unbelievable. And as you pointed out in a recent interview, that in 2004, this is the very same president who said that we should be one America, not divided by color or by political ideology. But
yeah, well, really? Really? Is that why he sent Eric Holder down to Ferguson, Missouri? Wasn't that to drive people against each other, to stir up the black masses, to try and hang a policeman who was defending his life? He and Al Sharpton are peas in the same pod. They should be ashamed of themselves, but as you well know, certain people are born lacking a shame gene.
Shame gene. Michael Savage, your book is quite, the title is quite provocative, Stop the Coming Civil War. As you point out, I say very, you know, people may say it's too extreme, but listen, this president said he loves America, and he said he was out to fundamentally transform America. How do you change something that you feel that you love is already a good thing in the world?
Well, he doesn't think it's a good thing. He was born hating America. He, if you look at his, I'm sorry to tell you, his background, it's all about America is no good. Look at his father. His two fathers are of Muslim descent, which unto itself is not a bad thing, obviously. But the mother was a radical leftist. I mean, you have to understand he was steeped in the mother's milk of anti-Americanism. America is not a good place. Read his own biography, autobiography or biography. The fact of the matter is he said he would transform America. In other words, he declared war on America. What does transform America mean? You don't like every institution in the country? So he's tried to transform every institution in the country. So I'll ask your skeptical listeners this, Rick. Can anyone listening to this show say that the military is stronger after 6 years of Barack Obama? They'd be insane if they said that, since he cut the military to the bone. Would anyone say that the test scores in our schools are higher after 6 years of left-wing brainwashing in our schools? They'd be wrong, because our test scores are lower than they've ever been. Go down any institution in this country, and you'll see that every one of them has been, let's say, not destroyed, diminished under Barack Hussein Obama. He's hated America from the day he was steeped into this cauldron of America. He hates the country. He lives very well. He does very well. The wife travels all over the world. Doesn't she do so many trips? And yet she also seems to have a contempt for America. She even said that she doesn't like America, and this was the first time in her life. But let's not worry about Barack Obama. Let's worry about the entire Democrat, socialist, Islamist machine. The whole Democrat Party is the same. They've declared war on our borders, language, and culture. Can anyone listening to this show say that open borders with Mexico has been a positive thing for this country? You mean they like the drug dealer on the corner? You mean they like the tuberculosis that's been brought into Lynn, Massachusetts, and other cities in America from Obama's unaccompanied children this summer, who he brought in by the trainload? Or the ED68 virus that is now in our schools in 50 states, brought in again because it's endemic in Central America, exactly where these children were brought in? I can go down the list, as I do, in Stop the Coming Civil War, Rick, because my goal is to stop the coming civil war. There's only so much activism that a country can take from a radical until they wake up and say, he's not an American. He hates the country. He's killing us.
And what do you think needs to happen on November 4th to stop that civil war? Obviously, we need Republicans to take the Senate, but is that enough?
No, that's the beginning. That's just the beginning of the change. The Republicans, as you well know, are only 2 degrees of separation from the Democrat Socialists. We all know that. But the Democrats are a closed shop, Rick, aren't they? They don't listen to anybody. Can anyone listening to this show say they've ever been able to reach Dianne Feinstein or Nancy Pelosi or Harry Reid with a concern? Of course not. It's a closed shop. The Republicans have a certain segment of their leadership. Some of them, at least, are war veterans. They've shown they love America. We can reach them. We can reach Ted Cruz. We can reach those in the Republican Party who see things the way they are. And what am I saying? What am I calling for here? Oh, don't misinterpret me. Michael Savage, bad guy. He stands for borders, language, and culture. Can you name a nation on earth that is not defined by its borders, its language, and its culture? I'd like to know what nation is not, other than the United States of America.
That's a good point. I mean, every other nation has it. Why is America held to a different standard, and that different standard is put out there by those on the left? You're a doctor in nutritional sciences. What is, first of all, You've brought up a point in the past that very few people in the media talk about, and that is the federal government's attempt to control our food. And by controlling food, they control the people. Talk about that, please.
Well, my PhD is from the University of California in three subjects: epidemiology, human nutrition, and medical botany. It's very important that people understand that I have a triple specialty in my PhD from a great university. What do I mean by that? Let's use two words, Rick. Food fascism. Food fascism. Have you seen the school lunches that the First Lady has imposed on our children? The skimpy little food lunches? Of course, she still likes the fries. She says so. She still knocks down a good fatty meal every time she wants to. Her children go to a private school. God bless them. The first children are in.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO-I-N.
That's being promulgated by the right wing. It's the best of times, not even the worst of times. It's never been better. Things are coming up roses. The media is honest. The government's even more honest. The president loves America, and he was born in America. So you should sleep well tonight and have a really good weekend when you think about it. Because anyone who says otherwise is not only spreading lies, but possibly is a terrorist unto themselves. There could be anti-terrorism legislation passed very shortly by the administration to stop the lies about Ebola, terrorism, the IRS scandal. In fact, books should be rounded up and burned. Just because you ban them, that's not good enough.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I don't know why I feel good. So this is a strange paradox with me. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. I think that's the answer. I mean, I feel like I'm in a siege. I'm in a siege mentality. It's my natural place to be. I feel like I'm in a mental Stalingrad every day dealing with this administration. Play the music, though. I don't want to talk for every second. Let the callers do some of the work. My voice sounds good today. What is it? It must have been the scotch last night. It's Rock and Roll Friday. Lighten up. Trust your government. They're in charge of the war on terror. They're in charge of the war on Ebola. The economy is doing great. Things are coming up roses. All right. If it cannot be spread casual, how did the good doctor catch it? Take that message home, all you good liberals, and have that with your cappuccino tonight. Many of you don't understand what I'm saying to you. The government's saying it's hard to catch. I hate the word catch. That shows you ignorance to begin with. I mean, Obama, it's a hard disease to catch. Like everything's a baseball analogy. Catch, like it's just a common cold. Who wrote that for him? I mean, the correct word is contract. Contract, not catch. Catch is a child's word, like scary. I love Cuomo gets up and gives a speech. It's scary. Anytime you hear an adult use the word scary, you better run for the hills and make sure that you have food in the ground. The New York City Ebola patient passed new enhanced screening at JFK Airport, fell victim days later. Okay, so the big lie is that it cannot be spread casually. So how did he catch it? He must have gotten it casually. I mean, isn't it logical? Has logic gone out of the discussion in America? How? And that leads us to the next question. What are you going to do about it? And the answer is nothing. That's the answer. You're powerless to do anything. Just yesterday, the Health and Human Services Department of Barack Obama said that there is no epidemic of Ebola to fear. There's only an epidemic of fear in the U.S. Bingo, the next day the doctor catches Ebola. What is wrong with this country that everyone lies? Now, you ask yourself, why has there been no travel ban? I looked into this for you. I had to find the answer. Everyone who has a brain is screaming for a travel ban. And the only one who won't stop it is President Ebola. President Ebola will not stop travelers coming back and forth from West Africa. In fact, to add insult to injury, he's granting an increased number of travel permits to people from Liberia. But let's not go into that right away. I'll ask you again. I'm going to ask you once again, and let's now calm down together, me especially. Dr. Craig Spencer comes back from Guinea with the aid group Doctors Without Borders, and he successfully navigated the CDC's enhanced screening protocol at JFK Airport. And yet again, the mayor of New York, as I played, says you can't get the disease through casual contact. This is the same rhetoric that we heard during the AIDS epidemic, and I'll tell you what the problem is here. Because I've said it about 15 times in the last 2 weeks. I've watched Frieden. I've watched Fauci. I've watched them for 30 years. The very same rhetoric and protocols that they put in place for the AIDS epidemic are being applied to the Ebola epidemic. That's the background from which they came. But it's a different disease. AIDS and Ebola are very different diseases. The viruses are different. The transmission route is different, and to some extent. And so to keep putting out the rhetoric that you can't get it from casual contact is true for the AIDS virus, but it's not true for the Ebola virus, as we have so sadly learned. And I'm the only one in the American media who understands this. I'm the only one in the American media who has a degree, a PhD, write it down, Doctor of Philosophy degree from the University of California, in part, in the subject of epidemiology. It doesn't make me the world's leading expert on virology or Ebola or Lassa fever or any of the other hemorrhagic fevers. But I know enough to read the literature, and I also have great common sense because I am an immigrant son. And I'll tell you something about what that means. It means that the average taxi driver in Manhattan has more common sense than Mayor de Blasio. That's what it means. So let's ask this question. The good doctor from Doctors Without Borders, a good man, goes over there to help people for free. He comes back. He passes your new enhanced screening at JFK Airport. No symptoms whatsoever because you didn't close the flights, number one. I blame you. Number two, he should have gone into quarantine for 45 days. I've told you that for 3 weeks, but you didn't listen to me. You listened to those morons at the CDC who are giving you the wrong information. But again, how did the good doctor get the disease if it's so hard to catch? How did it happen? He had a biohazard suit on. He cleared the government's newest enhanced screening protocols. Could it be that the advanced screening is a load of bullcrap? Could it be that it can be spread casually, such as through droplets, as has been reported in the real scientific literature, as opposed to the propaganda literature coming out of the Stalinist Democrat Party USA to tell you all as well? See, now we've passed the point of no return. This is no longer a matter of Republican versus Democrat. All good people listening to this show can agree to one thing, which is that they are either lying to you or they don't know what they're talking about. Now, 3 weeks ago, I wrote an article that was entitled, They Don't Know Ebola from Shinola. It was a big hit. It was linked all over the place. 2 weeks ago, I was attacked by some moron at CNN named Jack Taperwood. Taperwood had the nerve to say that I said things I didn't say. But what I said that CNN quoted correctly is that Obama is sending 5,000 troops to Liberia, one of the epicenters of this disease. And I said, is it not logical to conclude that at least one of them will come back asymptomatic? Well, Jake Taperwood said, how dare Savage even ask the question? Savage is implying that Obama wants to give Ebola to the troops. But you know what? I've been proven to be right. Now, I realize a prophet in his own times is very often reviled, and I'm lived with that for 20 years. I'm ignored not only by the left-wing press, but by the so-called conservative press, who would rather have a junkie musician on with eyeglasses, sunglasses today, than have me on with Stop the Coming Civil War. That's their choice. Yesterday, we were talking about the outbreak of the epidemic of radical Islam around the world. The plague of radical Islam is an epidemic spreading around the globe, and it's, of course, hit in Canada, it's hit in the U.S. And I asked you, how would you control the plague of radical Islam in America? Should the government authorize monitoring mosques in America? Peter King said so. He's a congressman. I agree with him. And why did Obama downplay Muslim terrorism every time it occurs? Why did he call it senseless violence while the Premier of Canada said it was clearly what it was terrorism? Obama hit for hedging on terrorist attack, unlike Canadian PM. He called it senseless violence. Why is he covering it up? And then we went to the issue of Jews and Muslims. And I was asking a question that no one seems to have tackled in the media except me, because I happen to have an Old Testament in my hand with about 1,000 post-its in it, which I've read for 30, 40, 50 years now. And I realized that certainly, I'm not a religious person, but even Orthodox Jews that I know don't stone adulteresses to death. And they know enough to follow some of the rules of the Old Testament and to ignore the others. I mean, it's unbelievable to me why this has not occurred in the Muslim religion amongst the radicals. I don't understand what has to happen, in other words. I hate to get entrapped in this, because so many people understand it with a certain fondness and they say it's an historic document, but they don't take it literally. And then there are those who take it literally up to a certain point, and then there are those who take other religions literally, and they kill people, stone adulteresses and kill homosexuals, as being done in the Middle East. But, you know, you can find anything you want to justify virtually any act that you wish to follow somewhere. You know that. That's something I discovered as an anthropologist, that you can drive you crazy. And whatever, let's say the maddest part of yourself that you've tried to suppress all your life, somewhere on earth, not only is it not repressed, it's revered. This is the beauty of education. But the same thing applies to the Old Testament. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. 1-855-400-7282. Or if you'd like to see who predicted that we'd have new epidemics breaking out in America because of Obama's open borders policies, you can read Stop the Coming Civil War. It's that simple. The head of the CDC should have been taken out of his job and, in my opinion, tried for criminal negligence after the first patient was brought in from Africa. People forget now. They're starting to accept that Ebola is here. It was not here. It came here because of Obama's liberal open border policies. Period. End of story. He doesn't know Ebola from Shinola. Now we could say he doesn't know Ebola from a bowling ball, because that's the next thing. Now what are they going to do with the bowling alley in Williamsburg where the guy bowled? What are they going to do now? We're dealing with three problems now. One, how would you deal with radical Islam in America? Why does Obama downplay Muslim terrorism, whether it's in America, Canada, or anywhere else? And now we have the Ebola scare in New York City. Don't you agree with me? Please, tell me the truth. All of you good liberals who go bowling in Williamsburg and listening to me on WABC in New York, can I get your attention for a moment? For weeks, I, Michael Savage, have been saying, ban all travel from Ebola-stricken nations to America. Haven't I been saying it? You don't know I've been saying it. I was the first one. I won't be the last one. Everyone with common sense is saying it. And bingo, here we have it now. A nice, good doctor comes back from treating patients, Doctors Without Borders, well-meaning, good man, saintly, but apparently he was not quarantined before returning from treating patients with Ebola in Africa. Had he been quarantined and got the fever and the sick, we wouldn't have the scare in New York. Would we, Dr. Frieden? Would we, Dr. Obama? No. You see, had he been quarantined in Africa, Dr. Obama, we wouldn't have the scare in New York City now. Would we, Dr. Obama? Now, why was he allowed in after only a week? I mean, I thought that old Tommy Frieden had protocols. I thought Dr. Ebola had said everything's under control. Why would they let him back into the country after a week after treating patients in Guinea? Why? 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 Why are they opening borders with Mexico and won't close them when we have TB now in the cities that was eradicated? We have ED68 in the schools around America. A few children have died paralyzed, like with polio. No one's telling you about that because it would suddenly change your mind about the open borders policy of the liberal maniacs who've wrecked this country. Wrecked the country from stem to stern. Wrecked the country from top to bottom. They've poisoned and polluted everything they touched. Everything. Whether it be the morals of the nation. Whether it be the borders of the nation. Whether it be the language of the nation. Whether it be the frail, fragile culture of this nation, whether it be the flag itself, everything these cockroaches have touched, they've decimated. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Well, I used to say that this government doesn't know the difference between Ebola and Shinola. Remember that article 3 weeks ago when I urged the CDC to fire the chief? When I urged them to put in a travel ban? When I urged them to put in a 45-day quarantine on anyone coming in from? Remember when I was attacked by CNN, by Jake Tapperhead? Who said to me that I'm wrong about saying troops could come back with Ebola? Where are you today, Jake? You're sending 4,000 troops into that area. You're telling me statistically it's not likely that one of them will come back with Ebola like this doctor did. And by the way, wise guy, hold it, wise guy. If it's so hard to catch, as Obama said, how did this good doctor catch it? Let me say that again for all of you idiots who believe Cuomo and Obama and all of the other wonderful Pollyannas out there. They tell you it's a hard-to-catch disease. Really? If it's so hard to catch, how did this good doctor catch it? And if it cannot be spread casually, how did he catch it? Uncasually? Think about it. So why is there no travel ban? Here's a story. Travel lobby praises Obama for not instituting a full Ebola travel ban. Are you listening to this? Can you believe the insanity of this? Just yesterday, before the Ebola outbreak was confirmed in New York City, the Health and Human Services Department assured lawmakers that there's no fear of an epidemic in the U.S. The only fear we should have is the fear of an epidemic of fear. Okay? Now, of course, I, Michael Savage, was the first in the media to call for a travel ban and quarantines of travelers arriving here from Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone. But the Obama administration won't take such steps. Why? Because they're listening to idiots at the CDC, and they're listening to idiots in the travel business. It's that simple. If you don't believe me, why don't you read the article? Savage says they don't know Ebola from Shinola. I'm working on a sequel to that. It's called They Don't Know Ebola from a Bowling Ball. Meanwhile, the New York City Ebola patient passed the new enhanced screening at JFK Airport and fell victim days later. Are you listening to this? He came back to the U.S. last week symptom-free. Came back symptom-free. Oh, really? Wait a minute. So how did he catch the virus? He had no symptoms. He didn't roll in the bodily fluids of a patient. He took every precaution imaginable. So how did it happen? Well, it could be it's spreading in a way they don't know, like through the air. We're not allowed to say that it's passed by droplets, and he could have inhaled some of the droplets. Are you sure? The 33-year-old doctor went to Guinea with Doctors Without Borders, a good man, came back symptom-free, went to a bowling alley, went on a three-mile jog. Visited a bowling alley in Brooklyn Wednesday night, and then he became symptomatic. Well, the gutter bowling alley is now closed as a precaution. You sure you didn't touch his ball? You didn't touch Dr. Spencer's bowling ball? I mean, it's insane. and you listen to Cuomo, you listen to the mayor of New York, you can hear they don't know what they're talking about. You can hear the health officials, they're all PR agents, that's all they are. You better take common sense and put it ahead of you. Put your common sense ahead of all the doctors. Didn't you love the staged photos with Dr. Fauci with the crisp white coats and stethoscopes marching the cured Ebola patient out? It was right out of the Soviet Union. It would be laughable if it wasn't a deadly disease. So ask yourself why some survive and some don't. Really? That's interesting. There's no cure for Ebola. So why have some patients walked away healthy while others have died? That's interesting. Why don't we ask the Ebola czar, the lawyer they hired, who knows nothing about a common cold, let alone Ebola. Well, why do some survive and some not? Very interesting. Well, let's start with our knowledge of the immune system. Let's start with what we do when we are exposed to someone with a cold, and then escalate those survival techniques. Do you understand that there are things you can do? And I'll have much more to say about this over the coming days and weeks on the Savage Nation. There are many things you can do to build up your immune system that are commonsensical, and some are just not known. But I know an awful lot about this. This is the Savage Nation. Obama doesn't know Ebola from a bowling ball. If it's so hard to catch, how did this good doctor catch it? And if it cannot be spread casually, how did he catch it? These are some of the questions I've asked repeatedly. Are you listening to me? And so you must use common sense, just as you use common sense in recognizing we have about 12 days left to save America. What does that mean? If we let these incompetent left-wing fanatics do this to us with Ebola, what are they doing to us in every other sphere of our lives? It's all spelled out in Stop the Coming Civil War. This is the Savage Nation. God bless America.
Savage.